This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Austin, Tallahassee, we love you just the way you are, and we will continue to wake up every single day to fight for you because we know that your lives are worth fighting for.
Messages of support follow the passage of the Don't Say Gay Bill, a conversation with Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith.
Could be a later day on Friday night, but our goal is to be done on time.
The 2022 legislative session wraps up this week, but will there be a special session?
When I look at this piece of legislation, I look at it as perhaps one of the more monumental pieces of workforce development that this legislature's passed in the last decade.
A bipartisan bill to expunge the records of some juveniles is on its way to the governor's desk. We talk with Christian Miner with the Florida Juvenile Justice Association, who's confident DeSantis will not veto the bill this time around. We've got all that and more coming up on episode 197 of The Rotunda. It's hump day in this final week of session. While many hot-button issues are still unresolved, the race is on to see which ones makes it through these final moments of session. For this episode, let's dive into one issue garnering national, if not international, attention.
Why is everybody now all about coming out when you're in school? And there really is a dynamic of concern of how much of this are genuine type of experiences and how many of them are just kids trying on different kinds of things they hear about and different kinds of identities and experimenting.
That's Republican Senator Dennis Baxley speaking out in support of the Parental Rights in Education Bill, which passed the Senate Tuesday and is on its way to the governor's desk. DeSantis is very particular about using the actual name of the bill instead of what opponents call the Don't Say Gay Bill.
I'm asking you to tell me what's in the bill because you are pushing false narratives. It doesn't matter what critics say.
It says it bans classroom instruction on sexual identity and gender orientation.
For who? For grades pre-K through 3. So 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. And the idea that you wouldn't be honest about that and tell people what it actually says, it's why people don't trust people like you, because you peddle false narratives. And so we disabuse you of those narratives. And we're going to make sure that parents are able to send their kid to kindergarten without having some of this stuff injected into their school curriculum.
LGBTQ advocates are turning their focus to encouraging words for young people who are gay, following the passage of the Parental Rights in Education Bill. It would limit what is taught about sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms, and ban it in kindergarten through grade 3, or in a manner that is not age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. Democratic Senator Chevron Jones, who is openly gay, has shared emotional testimony against the bill. Knowing it was about to pass, he turned attention to those affected.
I want to speak to the boy or girl, the trans boy or the trans girl. I want to tell them that you're wonderful, you're not confused, and there's a community of people who love you, who support you, and who are rooting for you.
Democratic Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith, an openly gay lawmaker, calls it disingenuous for the bill's sponsor to claim it's about parental rights. He stepped off the floor Tuesday to share his thoughts on the bill's passage right here.
The supporters of this bill have consistently misrepresented what it does. They have said things like, we should not be teaching young children sexual education, teaching them about sexual activity or about sexual acts. That is not what this bill does. This bill prohibits classroom instruction and inclusion about a group of people, LGBTQ Floridians, not an act, not a thing. And the supporters of this bill know it. And we have warned since the beginning of this discussion that the Don't Say Gay bill would also go well beyond the text of the bill, that it would be used as a vehicle to promote attacks and hatred against the LGBTQ community. And I can't think of a better example of how that has come to fruition than when Governor DeSantis' own press secretary used the Don't Say Gay bill this weekend to accuse opponents of the legislation of pedophilia, which is a despicable and disgusting attack on our community. It is the oldest and most dangerous anti-gay trope that there is. And I think that it is a perfect example of how this Don't Say Gay bill has been weaponized to further marginalize LGBTQ people. And I think it's disgraceful.
And also proponents are saying that how parents' rights will not end at the classroom door. What do you say to that?
Well, the governor's spokesperson reminded us with her comments that this bill was never about parental rights. It was always about attacking and marginalizing LGBTQ people and using our kids as political pawns to serve the interests of an ambitious governor. She wouldn't have otherwise said we should call it the anti-grooming bill, which is what the governor's press secretary said was a more accurate representation of the intent of this legislation. And by grooming, of course, she's talking about sexual grooming in her accusations that opponents of the bill are pedophiles. As far as the rights of a parent, everyone supports parental rights. And we celebrate when parents have these types of conversations with their kids. But the reality is that too many kids don't find that type of support at home, which is why it's so important for kids to be able to go to school and to be in healthy, safe, and inclusive educational environments that affirm and support who they are.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Democratic Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith.
We know that LGBTQ youth are four times more likely to attempt suicide than their peers. That's not because LGBTQ youth are predisposed to suicidal ideation. It's because too many LGBTQ students can't find support at home. They're rejected by their family and their parents. They are abused and neglected because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And therefore, they are disproportionately more likely to attempt suicide. We also know that 40% of homeless youth identify as LGBTQ. How did that happen? It's not because of parental rights. It's because too often our LGBTQ youth who are so vulnerable can't find the love and support that they need at home, which is why inclusive, safe, and healthy educational policies in our schools are so important. They also save lives.
Lastly, before letting you go, we saw, since we're talking so much about youth and students and kids, we saw them at the Capitol. We saw them engage in speaking their voices throughout the state on this issue with a variety of walkouts throughout the state. What are you hearing from students and youth as they talk to you about this measure?
Well, I have a really important message for LGBTQ youth in Florida and around the country who might see that the Don't Say Gay bill passed and could be scared and also can be struggling to find support at home and in their communities. I used to be you. We see you, us in Tallahassee. We love you just the way you are, and we will continue to wake up every single day to fight for you because we know that your lives are worth fighting for.
Well, Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith, thank you so much for your time and all the best on these final days of session.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast and shoot us a note. Let us know your thoughts on the 2022 legislative session as it comes to a close. bipartisan bill passed out of both chambers again would provide more leeway for juveniles to be able to expunge or wipe clean their arrest records. Advocating for the bill is Christian Miner, executive director of the Florida Juvenile Justice Association, who joined us now to talk about all the effort it took to pass the bill again after it was vetoed by Governor DeSantis.
Yeah, last year the bill was vetoed, so this has been a long time coming. I'm pretty excited about it.
So what are the bill's chances? Will it make it through beyond the governor's desk? Do you think it will get signed into law this time?
I am very confident. We have worked with the governor's office, as well as some of our law enforcement stakeholders that had concerns regarding the bill, to really iron out any kinks and really assemble a great bill and product that strikes a balance between workforce development, protecting public safety, and also allowing kids to have a second chance to lead a life of success. So having bounced a lot of the language off of the governor's staff and working with our law enforcement partners together to get this thing to the finish line, I think our chances are fairly high that Governor DeSantis will go ahead and sign it.
What was the sticking point last time for him to bring forth the veto, and what have you been able to clear to make it more amenable to him this time?
So the governor had met with some of the law enforcement stakeholders, and they had concerns that state attorneys may divert forcible felonies and some felonies committed with firearms to post-arrest diversionary programs, and that these kids should not expunge their record earlier, even if they've been referred to a post-arrest diversionary program and completed it. Again, this bill allows them to do it earlier. If one of those such offenses is still referred to a post-arrest diversionary program, they will have the opportunity to have that record expunged at 21 if they successfully complete this program. Both law enforcement partners and the governor's office did have a little bit of concern about kids that have committed those offenses. We don't really see a whole lot of those offenses diverted, but again, recognize that public safety is the crux of society, especially in a tourism state here like Florida. After taking some of that input into consideration, we're really able to work again with the governor and law enforcement to craft a bill that I think still includes almost the same pool of kids and affords them the exact same opportunities to learn from their mistakes.
Given the work that you do, could you give us a real world example of how this law will be put into practice for one of the juveniles, or who's maybe someone that you know that it would be, it will greatly help their cause?
Absolutely, Tramiel. Yeah, so we had actually kind of the basis of when we created this bill 4 years ago. One of my providers, Bay Area Youth Services, they do a lot of diversionary programming. And they had a young man who came into their program, completed a diversionary program for a felony offense. And the problem was, unlike completing a diversionary program for a misdemeanor offense, the offense stays on your record till the age of 21. So this young man actually had college scholarship opportunities to play sports. And he was passed up because he had a felony arrest on his record. Now, mind you, these charges are ultimately, they're dismissed once they complete this post-arrest diversionary program. All that sits there is the arrest. So it followed him all the way until the age of 21. It impacted job opportunities, again, college opportunities. He was actually able to work for Amazon. They took a chance on him. And then at the age of 21, it was finally expunged off of his records, and he ended up going back to college and was able to get some gainful employment. But he kind of really came to us and was like, hey, this really impacted me, and you guys ought to take a look at some ways to fix this, because I don't want other kids to go through what I went through. I had to pass up on college opportunities. He said, you know, during that time period, I felt that I was almost helpless and that I was being steered back down a path of doing the wrong thing just in order to get by. So again, I think when I look at this piece of legislation, I look at it as perhaps one of the more monumental pieces of workforce development that this legislature's passed in the last decade, if I'm being honest, because of the 26,000 kids that it impacts, those are opportunities, again, to matriculate onward into college. to get gainful employment, to go work, to start a business, you know, because some of these felony arrests impact certifications. And more importantly, for kids to go ahead and not only serve in the military, but also serve in law enforcement. So that's just one small example. And you can imagine, you know, with how many kids have been arrested for felony offenses, just how this could change that entire demographic that we've essentially written off until the age of 21. And these are their most important years of growth, I would say, you know, that time from about 17 through 21 when they're figuring out what they're going to do with their lives.
Well, Christian Miner, congratulations again, and thank you so much. I wish you all the best, and we'll be looking to see what the governor does with your bill.
Thanks, Tramell. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful day.
So will lawmakers come back to settle redistricting, or will everything get buttoned up by Friday evening? We'll just have to wait and see. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith and Christian Miner with the Florida Juvenile Justice Association. Be sure to join us again Friday for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.